Our fathers fought and gave their lives for a flag that waved so proud. But now we burn the stars and stripes, we've let old glory down. These laws that break our hearts today were made on Capitol Hill. We need to climb that hill once more, where Jesus' blood was spilled.
Good to be back in Bourbonnais. A lot of you folks probably don't know me because I don't come here very often. I've been a member here for 26 years. In fact, I was 26 years old when I came to this church. So I have been a member of this church for half my life. That makes me, I'll be 52 this year. When we came here, my daughter, Cindy, who's with us this morning, was about 3 months away from being born. She came with us. She just hadn't seen her yet when we came here. But we were living here when she was born. She'll be 26 this year, so I kind of already gave that away, but that's all right. It's good to be in Bourbonnais. Sometimes I get emotional when I come here. I'm hoping we can just have fun this morning. And preacher's not here. It's just us. We'll just, I don't have to behave or anything. This is going to be good. I'm trying to think of Father's Day jokes, but I don't know. I got too much to say. I better just get into it. It's great to be here. I've been a member of this church for 26 years. When I first came here, I was a staff member. I was principal of the Christian school. I wonder how many of you here this morning were in the church then. You were maybe a student in the school or a parent or just a part of the ministry here when I was a staff member. How many of you? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We got a lot of stories we could tell on each other. I made a lot of mistakes back in those years. I don't know. I won't go there. I don't want to tell anything on Maud this morning, but there was a time. I got in big trouble for that, didn't I? Anyway. All right. We'll hold the story until some other time. It's a Sunday morning, so we're supposed to behave a little bit, but it's really hard to behave when preacher's not here and I got so much I want to say. Well, Seema, good to see you this morning. How you doing? You don't look that much older. A lot of people around here look older, but you look all right. You're all right. You know, if you only show up to church about once every 3 or 4 years, you know, it's really a shock sometimes. Sometimes everybody's just, and so you meet some people and you're like, whoa, what happened? And then, you know, anybody who's about 15, 16, 17, I have no clue. I knew them when they were little bitty, you know, or not even born yet. I think some of these kids... When I started deputation, that was 15, 16 years ago. So if you're 16 or younger, you know, I probably barely know you. But anyway, I get into the message. It's Father's Day. I thought, well, maybe I should come up with a Father's Day message. That would be good and appropriate. And and everything. So I went through the Bible and I thought, well, what are the different fathers in the Bible? And the theme kept coming back to me as I looked at different fathers in the Bible, that each father wanted something out of their children. So the title of the message this morning, wherever it goes from here, I don't know. I thought I'd give you a title so you know where it was supposed to go. And wherever we end up, we end up. But the title of the message this morning is, What Your Father Wants From You. What does your father want from you? We're going to look at a lot of fathers in the Bible and what they wanted from their children. And that'll give you some clue as to what your father wants from you. Who's the first father in the Bible? It's a trick question. You're happy you get it wrong. First father in the Bible? Somebody got it right. God's the first father in the Bible. Luke chapter 3 says Adam was the son of God. So that makes God the first father in the Bible. Okay? What did he want out of his son? What did he want out of Adam? Well, let's look at what he did when he created Adam. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us what God wanted out of Adam. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. First thing God did when he created Adam was he gave him a job. So your father wants you to get a job. Now, if you're still in high school, you got things to do. You can concentrate on your studies. But, once you get out of high school, you need to get a job. Your dad wants you to get a job. I thought I'd tell you that this morning. Your dad wants you to get a job. That's straight out of the Bible, Brother Jeff. God made a man. He made his son. And he said, time to go to work. Your father wants you to get a job. I think it's important that we raise our children. It's important for us fathers especially to teach our children that they need to aim toward having an independent life. Russians don't have that idea. Russians are big into dependency. They're dependent on the government. They're not communists anymore, but they're really big into socialism still. And I see America heading that direction. Dependency. Dependent on somebody else when you should really be taking care of yourself. Your father wants you to get a job. You need to take care of yourself. When you are old enough to make your own living and provide your own housing and take care of yourself, that's what you need to do. Russians look for, most American, at least, I don't know what they're like nowadays because I haven't been around a lot of American young people for several years, but certainly in my generation and most of the young people that I worked with when I was here working with young people, they had as a goal in life that they wanted to have their own life. Wanted to have their own house, their own apartment, their own car, their own family. And that is a good and godly ambition. Independent life. Russians aren't that way. They want to live with their parents all their life. When they get married, they want to live with their parents after they get married in an apartment. It's crazy. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the independence. Your father wants you to get a job. Get out there and get a job. Independent life. When I was 16 years old, I was living in Michigan with my parents, and we did not have a Christian school, and I had an opportunity present itself to me to go to a different state and go to a Christian school. The opportunity involved having a job where I would work my own job, pay my own way, take care of myself, not receive any support from my parents. And my dad said, that sounds like a good opportunity. I think you ought to take advantage of that. So when I was 16 years old, I started my independent life. Now that's a little young for most people. I can tell you that I was ready for it. It worked out okay. Not without problems, but it worked out okay. I don't think that a lot of 16-year-olds are really ready for that, but I was mature enough. I remember when my oldest son, David, came to me. He was about 16 or 17, and he said, Dad, I think it's time. I want to start my own independent life. I want to go back to America. I want to get my own job. And I said, well, I was ready for it, and maybe you're ready for it. But I talked him out of it, but he was chomping at the bit to start his own independent life. And when I finally told him, okay, it's time, he was ready. Had his own job, had his own housing and his own car. I don't think I ever had to bail him out, never had to pay any of his bills. Once in a while I'd send him something. All my kids were that way. And I think that's good. God created Adam, and the first thing he did was he gave him a job. Take care of yourself. Independent life. Okay, we're getting a good start here. I can see there's time to go to the next point. Next thing God did, now God's the first father in the Bible. What does your father want from you? The next thing God did for Adam, his son, was he gave him a wife. Your father wants you to get married. My daughter's back there. She's not married yet. It's not her fault. She is an illustration of the fact that men are idiots in this generation. She's beautiful and charming and intelligent and talented. And her problem is that what she's used to in a man just is difficult to compare with what she found when she came. I mean, the only difference between her father and Superman is vulnerable to kryptonite, and I'm not. So, at any rate. But your father wants you to get married. That is God's will for most people. Now, the Bible does teach that there are some people that God calls to a single life of service. And that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's God's will for your life, that's a wonderful thing. I've known some people that have been single and serving the Lord, and that's God's will for their life. There's nothing wrong with that. That is a good thing if that's what God wants for you. But for most people, God wants you to get married. If you are of that age and you can do something about it, you should lift up your fields and lift up your eyes and look under the fields. They're white unto harvest. Anyway, that's not going anywhere. But don't be in a hurry to get married. Only marry in God's will. Only marry someone who is saved. Only marry someone who is going the same direction that you want to go. But your father wants you to get married. That would be a good thing. The next thing. What else did God tell his son, first father in the Bible? What did he want out of, what did the father want out of his kids? He wanted him to get a job. He wanted him to get married. He said, multiply. Be fruitful. Your father wants you to have kids. I had a very special event this week. Some of you may have heard already. First of all, on Tuesday, it was our 30th wedding anniversary. Isn't that special? 30 years. And on our 30th anniversary, our first grandbaby was born. And I heard, aw, yeah, that's aw. That's an aw moment. Our first grandbaby on our 30th anniversary. My son Alan and his wife Jessica were married 9 months and 6 days before the baby was born. And they had a baby this week. Blake Theodore. And that's a blessing. Your father wants you to have kids. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Who was the second father in the Bible? That's easy. We already told you who the first one was. So now you can confidently tell me who the second one was. Of course, that was Adam. Adam was the second father in the Bible. What do we learn from Adam? What did he want out of his kids? Well, I think we know what happened to Adam's kids. You had Cain, you had Abel. I'll just say briefly, your father wants you to get along with your brothers and sisters. If you are a son or a daughter, your father really wants you to get along with your brothers and sisters. That's a blessing to your father. I'm a father. I have 4 children. It's a blessing to me when my children get along. So get along with your brothers and sisters. Don't be like Cain and Abel. Don't kill each other. Some Sunday school teacher asked the class one morning, you know, if there was a Bible principle for how you're supposed to treat your brothers and sisters. And one little boy raised his hand and said, how about thou shalt not kill? That's a good one to start with. Your father wants you to get along with your brothers and sisters. What can you do for your father on Father's Day? Well, it would be nice if you knew what he wanted. Well, he wants you to get a job. He wants you to get married. He wants you to have kids. He wants you to get along with your brothers and sisters. That's a Bible lesson from a Bible father. I saw another father in the Bible. Not necessarily going to go in order through all of them. That would take too long. But I saw a significant father in the Bible was Noah. What do we learn from Noah? Well, he had at least 3 boys. We don't know if he had any other ones, but he had at least 3. And they worked together with him, and that was a good thing. It's good that your children work together with you. Your father wants you to work together with him. Now, Noah had an ark to build. It took him 120 years to build it the way I understand the scripture. It took him 120 years to build it. And he had three boys that must have worked together with him. I remember the day my dad was a school teacher, and school teachers only work 9 months out of the year. They loaf off all summer. But they don't, back in those days, they didn't get paid during the summer, so my dad had to take a second job in the summertime, and usually he found carpenter work. And he'd, you know, build additions onto houses or garages or different things. And one day my dad came to me and said, how'd you like to go to work with me? Well, I think I was about 7 years old. And I said, wow, that'd be great. He said, I'll get you your own hammer. He gave me a nail apron with a little hammer hook on it. Got my own hammer and got my own ball cap. And I had long nails in one side of the nail apron and short nails on the other side. And I went to work with my dad. And he paid me 25 cents a day. And I thought, man, I get to do this and I get paid for it. And that was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to him. Your dad wants you to work together with him. If you have a father, you need to be working together with him. You need to help him out. That's what your dad wants. Yeah, if you gave him a tie today for Father's Day, he appreciated that. That's nice. If you gave him an RC Cola and a moon pie. I just spent a couple weeks down south in North Carolina, Tennessee, South Carolina. So I guess a moon pie. If you gave him something like that, he appreciates it. But what he really, really wants is he just wants you to work together with him. Help him out. That's what your dad wants. That's what your father wants. And another thing about Noah's boys, they listened to God's message. Noah was a preacher. Noah taught his family the Word of God. And those three boys listened. They listened to God's message, and they got on board with God's salvation. That's what your father wants. He wants you to listen to God's message, and he wants you to get on board with God's salvation. That's what your father wants on Father's Day and all the rest of the year. Here's another father in the Bible, significant father. We sing a song about him, Father Abraham. There's a lesson in there that sometimes your father wants to kill you. But that doesn't happen very often. But what did Abraham want out of his son? He wanted his son to have God's blessing. That's what I want for my children. I want them to have God's blessing. Abraham prayed, God, let that blessing that you promised to me, let that go to my son. Your father wants you to have God's blessing. I hope each of us are living in such a way that we can have God's blessing in our life. Because that's what your father wants for you. That's what your father wants. He wants you to have God's blessing. I see in Abraham's son that he obeyed authority. That's one of the more amazing stories in the Bible. I mean, that whole story, I preached about it here once a few years ago. About how Abraham took Isaac up on that mountain to sacrifice him. One of the amazing parts of that story is that Isaac went along with it. I mean, Abraham was like 125 years old. I suppose if Isaac had wanted to put up a fight, he could have, probably, 125 years old. I don't know how much fight's left by the time you get to 125. But he obeyed. Your father wants you to obey authority. You know, when you're living at home, your authority is your parents. And you need to obey your parents. If you're living at home, you need to obey your parents. That's what your father wants. Obey your mom. Obey your dad. As you go through life, there's other authorities that are going to come into your life. And your father wants you to obey those too. He wants you to obey all the authorities. When you're living at home, your parents are in charge. Because they pay the bills, they call the shots. That's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. But there's other authorities that are going to come into your life, and your father wants you to obey those too. One of the most visible signs of authority that we see every day is the traffic laws. Your father wants you to obey the traffic laws. I'm telling my kids all the time, don't drive so fast. Cindy, don't drive so fast. How many hundreds of dollars did I spend to put those kids through driver's school? They still drive too fast. Your Father wants you to obey authorities. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Your Father wants you to obey authority. He doesn't want you to get in trouble with the law. He doesn't want you to get arrested. He doesn't want to have to bail you out of jail. Obey authority. If you obey your mom and dad when you're home, then when you get a little bit older and you start having contact with those other authorities, which, by the way, God has put in place, the powers that be are ordained of God, the Bible says, Romans chapter 13. You obey those authorities, you'll stay out of trouble. And eventually, when you have to make that decision as to whether or not you're going to obey God, who's the ultimate authority, if you've obeyed your parents and you've obeyed the teachers at school and you've obeyed the authorities in the community, you're going to, sooner or later, you're going to obey God. And that's what your Father wants. Your Father wants you to obey authority. That's what we learned from Abraham, because his son obeyed him. Another father in the Bible, Isaac, when he became a father, he had an interesting situation with his kids. Had two sons, Esau, Jacob. He was supposed to, he wanted to bless the older son, Esau, and his eyes were going bad. He couldn't really see very well. So the younger son, Jacob, got together with his mom, and he dressed up like Esau and went in there and acted like he was Esau, and he got the blessing because he lied to his dad. What does your father want from you? There's a good lesson right there. Your father wants you to tell the truth. You want your parents to trust you? When you get a little bit older and maybe you want to borrow the car, if you have destroyed your trust by not telling the truth, they're not going to be able to trust you with the keys to the car, with your independence, with... I mean, it pays off to be honest with your parents. I mean, honesty is the best policy. That's not just a cliche. It really does work for you. It works in your advantage. So tell the truth. Jacob lied to his father, caused all kinds of heartache, broke up the whole family. As far as I can tell, right after that, when Jacob had to leave home, he never got to see his mother again, probably. You never hear about his mother again. He got to come home and see his father again. But he spent 20 years away from home because he didn't tell the truth. Your father wants you to tell the truth. That's a good lesson for us on Father's Day. What does your father want from you? He wants you to tell the truth. He wants to be able to trust you. You know, your father, as you get older, your father wants to give you things to do that you like to do, some independent things. You know, going to the grocery store and getting something for mom and maybe getting a part-time job or something interesting or sending you somewhere with an errand. But he got to trust you. He's got to be able to know that he can trust you. And how do you get that trust? Just tell the truth. Don't be like Jacob. Don't lie. Isaac wanted his sons to tell him the truth. That's one of the things your father wants from you. What else did Isaac want from his sons? Another part of that story, the older boy Esau went and married somebody that was from a different culture. In fact, he married two. That's another story. That's a problem right there. But he married someone that was outside their kind of people. Now I know sometimes God brings people together in His will who are very different. But it's usually best to look for someone to marry who is, first of all, who's saved, comes from a similar background, a similar culture. The Bible says that when Esau married these girls who were from a different kind of people, that was a grief of mind to his parents. So we learn from Isaac that your father really wants you to marry someone who comes from a similar background as you. I told my kids as they were growing up, don't even consider being interested in romantically or marrying a Russian. Now, Russians are good people. I don't have anything against Russians. I'm not a racist against Russians or anything. But they have a different culture. They're different. It's difficult enough to get along with someone for a lifetime. Don't make it any harder by bringing a different culture into it. It's best, usually, to marry someone from your own culture. That's what we learn from Isaac and his sons. He was grieved that his son would marry somebody that was not even of their people. Read the story of Samson and his parents. He wanted to marry the Philistine girl. And his parents said, "Can't you find someone in Israel to marry? Can't you marry someone that's of your own people?" As you know, that's something we learned from Isaac. I told my kids, if you marry a Russian, they have different ideas about child-rearing. Most Russians don't believe you ought to spank your kids. If one parent thinks the child ought to be spanked and the other parent thinks the child ought not to be spanked, there's going to be conflict in the home. Most Russians have different ideas about housekeeping. They, you know, they're okay with not ever vacuuming or, you know, very seldom dusting or it's just a different idea of housekeeping. If one person thinks the house ought to be a certain level of cleanliness and the other person thinks it ought to be very different, it's going to be conflict. Right. Marry someone that's like you. That's all I'm trying to say. Usually. There are exceptions, I admit. I know Russians who believe it's okay for friends to drop in and stay a couple of weeks without any advance notice. Now, if one person in the family thinks that's okay and the other person is not comfortable with that, that's going to be a conflict in the marriage. Okay, so that's something we learned from Isaac. He wanted his son to marry somebody. In fact, that's why he sent Jacob back to Uncle Laban. Find one of our own kind of people. Marry somebody that's like us. Okay, let's go on. The next significant father I see in the Bible is David. Now, David had a lot of problems with his children's. Larry? Sorry. Where's Larry? How old is Larry? He had a lot of problems with his children's. One of his children was impure. Let's just put it that way. I don't want to go into the whole story on a Sunday morning. But David had a son that was not pure. He messed around with the girls. Your father wants you to be pure. The lesson in there is, guys, don't touch the girls. That's pretty basic stuff, but I think that's that needs to be said in this day and age. Guys, don't touch the girls. And don't let the girls touch you. And girls, don't touch the guys, and don't let the guys touch you. That's what your father wants. Your father wants you to stay pure. The day that you get married, he wants you to be pure. And let me say this to young ladies who are not married yet. A man does not have the right to touch a woman until after he has married her. And that means he has promised to feed her, clothe her, house her, and to remain faithful only to her until the day one of them dies. Let me say that again, because nowadays that's you don't hear that on network TV. A man does not have the right to touch a woman until he has married her. And that includes a promise to feed her, clothe her, house her, and to remain faithful only to her until one of them dies. And if a man does not give you that promise and a man does not give you that commitment, he's not worth letting him touch you. A young lady is worth that much. If you let a guy touch you before all that is settled, then the only, and this is not a very nice word, but the word that comes to mind is cheap. You're worth more than that. And if you settle for less than that, you have cheapened yourself. You're worth more than that. Don't let him touch you until you're married. Lifelong commitment is settled, and then, praise the Lord, that's all part of marriage. A guy that does not give you that level of commitment is not worth being with. He will leave you when you need him the most. And your father does not want to see that. Your father wants you to stay pure. He wants you to be pure when you're married. Now, when you're in high school, you probably shouldn't have any particularly close boy-girl relationships. You really got other things to worry about in high school. When you get college age, well, that's time to start the process. If you go to Bible college, you'll find the best selection of prospects you'll ever find. One good reason to go to Bible college. Some Bible colleges seem to do better than others. You know, it's like when the angels, you ever read the Christmas story? The angels told the shepherds, "Go to the place and ye shall find the babe." That's a Bible college verse. Go to the place and you'll find the babe. Anyway. But your Father wants you to be pure. There's a time for all of that. There's a time and a place for all of that. And like Solomon said, there's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. So get that in the right order and your Father will thank you. Another significant father in the Bible. We're getting towards the end of this. Another significant father in the Bible. God the Father. Now we talked about Him at the beginning because He was God the Creator, God the Father of Adam. But when we get to the New Testament, we see Him in a little bit different light because He's presenting Himself as God the Father. And you have God the Son doing His work here on the earth with the power of God the Spirit. But God the Father shows up a few times in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Why was God the Father so pleased with Jesus? If you read the life of Jesus and you look specifically for His relationship to the Father, you will find that when Jesus related to the Father, it was always about doing the Father's will. Your Father wants you to do God's will. God has a plan for your life. I'm kind of going back and forth here between adults and young people, but God has a plan for your life. He knows exactly what He wants you to do. And just like your heavenly Father wants you to do that, your earthly Father wants you to do God's will. What does your Father want from you? I mean, here it is Father's Day. We're supposed to do something special for our Father. Get Him an RC Cola and a Moon Pie and a toothpick. He'll be happy with that. But what He really wants is He wants you to do God's will. That's what I want for every one of my children. That's what I want for my grandchild now, Blake Theodore. I call him BT. I don't think anybody else likes that, but I think I'm going to call him BT, Blake Theodore. I want that boy to find God's will for his life. I want all my children, and eventually all my grandchildren, however many more there may be, I want them to find God's will. That's what you can do for your Father on Father's Day, is just live a life where you seek God's will. If you can find out what God's will is, and it's not something that God is trying to hide from you. If you want to do God's will, He will show you what it is. I did not know that God would send me to Russia as a missionary. I'm not sure what I would have done with that information if I had known it when I was a young person. But God has made it. I really wanted to know God's will. And God made it clear to me. That's what He wants me to do. Now, most of you probably are not going to go to Russia in God's will. But God wants you to do something. For many of you, He wants you to stay right here and be an active part of this church. Get involved. Find something you can do to serve. Find God's will and do it. That's what your Father wants for you. Why was God the Father pleased, well pleased, with His Son, Jesus Christ? Because Jesus was always trying to find and do God's will. He even prayed the night before He was crucified, "Not my will, but Thine be done." Your Father wants you to find God's will and do it. Here's another father. Name is John in 3 John chapter 1. A verse that I send to my kids every holiday, whether it's my birthday, Christmas, Father's Day. Early this morning, I sent off an email. All it says is, "You know what I want for Father's Day." And then for the first couple of years I did that, particularly the first time, they kind of didn't know what I was asking for, and they would send me back suggestions. "Oh, I know you want Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I know you want something or other, you know." And then I would send them back 1 John 3 John 1:4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's what I want for Father's Day. That's what I want for Christmas. That's what I want for my birthday. And I send my kids emails every year. You know what I want for Christmas? And I just leave it at that. And then maybe a little while later I'll send 3 John 1:4. Father's Day, I send out, you know what I want for Father's Day? 3 John 1:4. I want you to walk in truth. That's what your Father wants from you. He wants you to walk in the truth. He wants you to follow God's Word and live a life of blessing and happiness in God's will. That's what your Father wants from you. Now, some of us may not have a godly, earthly Father, but we all have a heavenly Father. And that's what your Father wants out of you. And then the last one, we think of the prodigal son's father. I'm not going to go through the whole story. There was a father. Jesus told the story about a father. Had two sons. The one son was willing to stay at home and obey his father and work with his father and follow the father's will and do what he was supposed to do on the farm. The other son said, I want to live my own way. I want my inheritance right now. I want my half of the inheritance and I'm going to go blow it on fun. He went off to the far country. He blew all of his inheritance. Half the father's money was just blown in riotous living. It was a sinful life. It was a shameful life. It was a wasted life. It was fun for a while, but that fun was temporary. And when all the money was gone, then all of his friends left. He didn't have any more fun. He ended up feeding pigs, and the pigs were eating better than he was. And he said, I think I want to go home. I want to go back to my father. I want to go back to doing what I'm supposed to do. My inheritance is gone. A good part of my life is wasted and ruined, but I want to go home. And when he got home, the father said, boy, I'm not sure I want you here. Is that what he said? No, he was watching. And when he saw the son coming, he ran to meet him and fell on his neck and he hugged him and he kissed him and he was so happy. If you're away from the Father's will this morning, you're not living for God. If you're a saved person not living for God, your Father wants you to come home. He wants you to get your life right. Now maybe this morning, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've never accepted that gift of eternal life, that gift of salvation. We talk about it here all the time. If you've been coming to church here any length of time, you've heard the plan of salvation. You're a sinner. You deserve to burn in hell forever. But Jesus Christ loves you. And He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And like the Father waited for the prodigal son to come, Jesus is waiting for you this morning. If you're not saved, what does your Father want for you? He wants you to come and get saved. That's what I get from the fathers in the Bible. What they wanted from their kids. That's what your Father wants from you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are our Father. What a special relationship. You could have called yourself the holy, mighty potentate of the universe, and you are that. But you told us that you want to be to us a father. Lord, you want some things from us. Our earthly fathers want some things for us. Maybe some of these examples in the Bible spoke to someone's heart this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit used some of these Bible examples to speak to someone's heart about something they need to do a little differently. Maybe they need to change direction in a certain area of life. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's never been saved. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch the hearts of everyone that needs to make a decision this morning. And as we have an invitation, Lord, I pray that those who need to respond would come forward, speak to someone if they need to speak to a worker, or just find a place at the altar and pray about the decision they need to make. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do what you want us to do. It's Father's Day, Lord, help us to do what the Father wants us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.